So nice to be here with you this evening, all you nice devotees, and I hope you're all happily engaged in devotional service. I'm actually not entirely sure what the format for our program is, but we will just sort of carry on. Oh, we're going to do Dhamma Dharastikam. Okay. Alright. Instead of Guru Puja, is that right? Or?
We're going to have Dhamma Dharastikam.
And?
Is that okay?
Yes, it's okay. Okay. Yes, so we will read a verse from Bhagavad Gita, and we'll say a few words. Then we'll do Dhamma Dharastikam, then Guru Puja, or I don't know which we'll do first, but we'll do both of those. And that will be our program this evening. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Where do you get these beautiful, delicate roses from? From whose garden? Oh. Oh, nice. And all these diamonds, also from the garden, growing diamonds. Well, thank you all for coming. I do appreciate that you've taken the trouble. We will read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, verse 18. Udara sarva evaita, jnani tvat maiva me matam, astita sahi yuktatma, mame vanu tamam gatim. Translation. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is not that devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. The Lord says that all are magnanimous, because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called a Mahatma, or great soul. The devotees who want some benefit out of devotional service are accepted by the Lord, because there is an exchange of affection. Out of affection, they ask the Lord for some material benefit. And when they get it, they become so satisfied that they also advance in devotional service. But the devotee in full knowledge is considered to be very dear to the Lord, because his only purpose is to serve the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. Such a devotee cannot live a second without contacting or serving the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is very fond of his devotee and cannot be separated from him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord says, Sadavo hridayam mayam, sadunam hridayam tvaham. Madanyate na jananti, naham tebyo manayati. Which means, The devotees are always in my heart, and I am always in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. There is a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. Udara sarva evaite gyani tvat maiva me natam astita sahi yuktatma mame vanu tamam gati. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. Om Jnana Tumayandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunamsumyena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namo Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Statutam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantika Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a very important part of Bhagavad Gita, and some of the verses around here, which are all among those verses which are dealing with this particular subject, some of them are very important verses. The discussion begins a few verses before. Krishna explains about four types of devotees, who may begin to render devotional service. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and those who are searching for knowledge of the Absolute. So here in this verse, Lord Krishna is saying that the devotee who is truly looking for knowledge of him, and truly trying to understand Krishna, truly trying to understand his or her relationship with Krishna, and not just academically, but with a view to develop and solidify that relationship. In this verse here that we've read, Lord Krishna says that this devotee, out of all those four types, this devotee is particularly dear to me. To what extent, do you remember what Krishna says in the verse? He is so dear to me that... Not different from. Not exactly. Krishna says, he is as dear to me as my own self. He is as dear to me as I am to me. We're all, isn't it? We're all quite dear to ourselves, isn't it? Generally. The most dear person in our lives is ourself, and others who may figure somewhere, they are quite well behind. But me, oh, I'm very dear to me. So this devotee who is so serious and so much trying to understand and appreciate and then act upon that understanding and bring it to its fruition and realize, Krishna says, that of those four types, that person, that devotee, is most dear to me, just like I'm dear to you. So it's very significant. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that generally the other types of devotees, or at least some of them, they want something from Krishna. They want some money or health, or we all know that story. Some food, some comfort, some shelter. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting point that the devotees who want some benefit out of devotional service, like we mentioned, like some money or something, are accepted by the Lord because there's an exchange of affection. Out of affection, they ask the Lord for some material benefit. And when they get it, they become so satisfied that they become inspired to advance. But the devotee in full knowledge is considered to be especially dear to the Lord because his only purpose is to serve the Lord with love and devotion. So like this, Srila Prabhupada is distinguishing, helping us to understand the difference between these two types, or these different categories of devotees, those who have some material interest, and those who are actually this main category that is being focused on here, those who really want to understand and then act on the understanding. These more materialistic devotees who are distressed, they want some relief from their distress, or they want some money or some material comfort because they don't have, therefore they're feeling a great lack, therefore they pray to the Lord. Particularly them, and also perhaps those who are curious, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that, of course it depends on how Krishna conscious they are, but if they're Krishna conscious enough, then if Krishna gives them whatever it is that they have some interest in getting, then they become very satisfied, Prabhupada says, and as a result they progress. So that satisfaction is not just a material satisfaction, but the element of Krishna consciousness is there. That Krishna, you are so kind. You let me, you helped me to pass my exam. Thank you, Krishna. And then, having passed the exams, and appreciating Krishna's help in that regard, it becomes a type of impetus to serve Krishna. That you are so kind, you helped me so much, so I'm going to now reciprocate. But, of course, those who may not be so advanced, Srila Prabhupada told one story, perhaps you've heard, about someone who was in distress. I'm sure some of you have heard. The man was fixing his roof, you know that story? Banging some nails in. And steep angle in the roof. Somehow he slipped and he just went sliding down and over the side. And he was going to just plummet down. But as he was sliding down, he was crying out, "God save me! God save me!" And then over the edge he went. But his overall, the strap of his overall, caught on some big nail that happened to be sticking out. And he was caught there. So he was saved from getting smashed and broken bones. as soon as that happened, what did he say? I'm glad I put that nail in. So Srila Prabhupada gave that example. We pray to God, please help me with this or that, whatever it may be. But if Krishna, or when Krishna comes through and delivers, then immediately we forget. But if the devotee is really a little more advanced, then that help from Krishna, it becomes an impetus. It becomes an impetus to serve Krishna more. So it is not simply mundane. There is Krishna consciousness there. So, not that we should make deals with Krishna. That Krishna, I want a new, whatever, something. Like Lokanath. Lokanath is trying to sell houses. So he may pray to Krishna, please help me to sell a house. Anyway, look, you must all buy a house from London. We want you all to buy a house from London, one each. That will encourage him. I think he needs this encouragement. But we shouldn't try and make a deal with Krishna. That if you help me to pass my exam, sell a house, or achieve whatever, something that we're interested in achieving, then I'll become serious about my Krishna consciousness. But if somehow that result I'm looking for doesn't come through, then I think, ha, Krishna, you let me down. You know, there's the famous, well, Prabhupada also told the story, I don't know that it's really so famous, but Prabhupada told the story of the gambler in India. He used to bet on the horses. We don't hear about that happening so much in India, at least I haven't, but it happened. So this man, he was an ardent better on the horses. So he would bet and win and lose. So one time there was some big race, and he bet. Well, he went. What he did? He went to the deity Sri Nathji in Nathdwar. So he must have been a Rajasthani gambler. He went to Sri Nathji in Nathdwar and he prayed to Sri Nathji. He said, my lord, I want my horse to win, so I win a lot. And he said, my lord, if my horse wins, I'll give you half. This is my deal. So you please arrange for my horse to win, then you'll get half. So then the race happened, and his horse didn't win, his horse came second, so he got half the amount. He didn't get the full amount, he got half the amount. So he went back to Sri Nathji and said, my lord, I see that you arranged that my horse came second. I think you didn't trust me that I was going to give you half. So therefore you took your half. The horse is going to keep the whole lot. So we shouldn't do business with Krishna. But sometimes it happens that we feel we need something in our lives in Krishna consciousness, and we pray to Krishna. And of course, you know, Srila Prabhupada would say, what is it? I have my plan, you have your plan, but Krishna has his plan. Sometimes they coincide. Sometimes they don't. Krishna has another plan. But I think we all know which plan comes through. So sometimes we may feel that we need something in our Krishna consciousness, we pray to Krishna. So, as we can see from what Prabhupada is saying, it is not that it is simply outside of Krishna consciousness. Of course, when it reaches a certain point, it starts going outside of Krishna consciousness. When we start feeling really dependent, that even if what we're praying for does not come, somehow Krishna decided no, then we start becoming disheartened and even disgruntled with Krishna. That Krishna, I'm your devotee, and you're meant to help. You say you help your devotee, so why didn't you help me? Not fair. You let me down, Krishna. You know, it depends, but it is not necessarily outside the realms of Krishna consciousness to feel like that. But if one becomes too much dependent on that sort of idea that I need some material reciprocation from Krishna, otherwise I'll lose my inspiration and who knows what will happen. Shouldn't become like that. If it becomes like that, then we're in Maya. Then it has gone beyond the limits. Yes, so Krishna is saying here that the Jnana Bhakta, the one who really understands or who wants to understand, and wants to understand in order to become a better devotee and really become more fully absorbed in pure devotional service, that devotee is most dear, Krishna says, because that devotee is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities in material life, means if things go well, the devotee is then happy, or if things go badly, the devotee is then sad. But the devotee being fixed on that higher platform of real understanding is able to maintain faith in Krishna no matter what, even to the point that a very, very great devotee like Queen Kunti prayed, Vipada Santu Ta Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syat Apunar Bhavadarshanam. I wish all those difficulties would come again and again, because then I will see your lotus feet again. And when I see your lotus feet, I no longer need to see repeated birth and death. So the more advanced devotee then is not dependent on these good happenings, bad happenings, simply serving Krishna come what may, and happy in devotional service come what may. So this is more advanced, and Krishna says if one becomes like that, then one becomes very dear to him, even as dear to him as he is to himself, which really is very dear. However, there's even another level. There's even another level. The devotee who's completely absorbed in pure devotional service. The devotee who's not simply trying to understand Krishna, but the devotee who has already understood Krishna. Not just the devotee, who's thinking, I would like to enter my relationship with Krishna. I would like to understand more so I can enter my relationship with Krishna. But there is a higher level of devotee who has already entered his or her relationship with Krishna. So they're even beyond this jnana bhakta. The term is jnana bhakta. That very exalted pure devotee who's simply trying to please Krishna and is directly connected with Krishna becomes even more dear. And elsewhere, actually in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava that such a devotee becomes more dear to me than I am to myself. This is really something. This is very, very dear. It's a different category. Yes. So the point is, we can see there's a gradual development from the lower level, where the person is simply materially attached, and they're praying to Krishna. But if Krishna does not deliver whatever they want, then they start doubting Krishna. At least they're approaching Krishna, but it's a very low level. Then the devotee who, whenever the devotee, by Krishna's mercy, achieves something, then the devotee attributes that to Krishna and becomes inspired more in Krishna consciousness because of that. That's now a higher level. So like this, we have these different levels. Then the jnana bhakta, then the kevala bhakta, the absolutely pure devotee. So we must try and cultivate this pure devotional service. Of course, one cannot just do it artificially. And I remember many years ago, so actually it was 1978, I was in England, and one of the most senior devotees in the movement came to England, and he and I travelled for a few days around England, and he did preaching programs here and there. So one day we were driving up the highway, and it started raining extremely hard, and somehow the rain affected the car, and the car stopped in the highway. We had to pull to the side, and we were sitting there, it was just pouring and pouring and pouring. And this devotee said to me, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know. Maybe we should pray to Krishna." He said, "No, I don't want to bother Krishna. I don't want to bother Krishna just for me, just for my comfort. No. I should only serve Krishna, not try and get him to serve me by sorting out my problems." So we sat there, a minute passed, 2 minutes passed. The devotee quickly wound down the window. He leant out the window and called out, "Krishna, help!" And you know what happened? Not long afterwards, maybe 15 minutes, the AA happened along. They fixed the car for free, and away we went. So maybe Krishna came in the form of the AA. And we were feeling happy. Good. Thank you, Krishna. Now we'll go off and we will do our preaching program. Yeah. But we should try and cultivate pure devotional service. Even if we cannot maintain pure devotional service or reach it, even, but we should try. We should have a basic understanding what is pure devotional service. that it means unalloyed desire, simply to please Krishna, without care for one's personal situation, personal considerations. This is pure devotional service. This is what we must aspire for, even though at this point we may not be able to achieve it, perhaps not at all, or if we ever come somewhere near there, maybe after just a short time we lose that focus. But still we should bear it in mind that this is what we are aiming for. And the emblem, at least one of the emblems of that, is Mother Yashoda. This is the month of Damodar still. And the actual Damodar Leela took place on the Diwali day. That's the actual day. And we all know Mother Yashoda wanted to discipline Krishna, train Krishna to be a good boy and not to do naughty things. Our children don't do naughty things, do they? Do you do naughty things? No? Oh, good girl. You always tell the truth, too? Yes, so Mother Yashoda, she wanted to train Krishna. She felt responsible. And not just responsible in the general sense, but she felt that if I cannot train my Krishna to become a good boy, so he grows up to become a good young man, upstanding member of society, and productive, positive member of society. If I cannot do that, Mother Yashoda said, I'll commit suicide. She took it seriously. In other words, her child was not just a toy, a living toy. You know, sometimes it's a little like that. Sometimes you see, not perhaps so much, but sometimes you do see, that the mother, even devotee mother sometimes, likes to play around with the child and so on and so on and so on. But then after a while, something happens, maybe her friend phones her, and oh, that becomes big happening. And the child is just running wild, and mother is there. And who knows what may happen to the child. You know, we have it sometimes in our classes, actually it's not uncommon, you know, in South Africa. Mother is sitting in the class. Child is running and falling and making noise. And you've all seen it many times. But mother is just sitting there. So But then sometimes it seems, you know, it's more sense gratification. I got my child, like I got my toy. But if something else captures my attention, I abandon my toy. Now my toy is just lying discarded. But Mother Yashoda was feeling like that. That if I fail in my duty as a mother, then my life is not worth living. Even, you know, in the fifth canto, there's one very famous verse which I don't know, I probably can't remember the Sanskrit for. Gurur nasasyad napatis chasasya, something like that. Daivam nasasyad, janani nasasyad, something, 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 goes on. So, gurua nasasyad, napatis chasasyad. One shouldn't become a guru. One shouldn't become a father. Daivam nasasyad. One should not become a demigod. Janani nasasya. You know what janani means? It means mother. Janani, she who gives the birth. Now don't become a mother. Na patis, don't become a husband. And there's some other, couple of other things don't become. Unless you can deliver your dependents from repeated birth and death. You can't deliver them, then don't take up that role. Because it's not just for sense gratification. It's a very important duty. And if you succeed in that duty, you'll get great benefit. If you fail in that duty, you'll get some reactions. Definitely. If your child, if you let your child go wild, Mohini, Mohini, are you a good girl today? You are? Okay, that's fine. Thank you. So if the child is just there for our sense gratification, sort of like a toy, and then other times when something else is on the mind, then the child, who knows what will happen. You know, I was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and there's this one couple, most devotees. And they had a child. The child was 1 year old or two at the most. And at Bhaktivedanta Manor, there's a lake. So they were playing by the lake. There's a little landing, sticks out maybe 2 or 3 meters into the lake where the water is maybe 1 foot deep or 18 inches at the most. So they're playing there. I mean, the child was playing, mother was with the child. Suddenly, you know what happened? The child fell in. Mummy had something else on her mind. Child fell in. And you know what she did? The water was about 1 foot deep. She went running to find her husband. To save the child. You know, fortunately, he was somewhere not too far away. And they saved the child, and the child survived. So. But Mother Yashoda, she feels like that. That if I cannot train my child properly to become a proper human being and really have a constructive life and make some real contribution to society, to humanity, then my life is not worth living. Then I'm a failure, total failure. And I should just commit suicide. It's not worth carrying on. So, of course, that child is Krishna. So it's pure devotional service. And therefore Krishna says that such a devotee is even more dear to me than I am to me. It's a very, very deep relationship. So let us try, this is the month of Kartik, let's try to cultivate that. At least let us pray for that. Even if we find it difficult to cultivate that mood of selflessness, even if our mind keeps throwing different little selfish ideas to the forefront. But at least let us remember and pray that this is what I really must achieve. So you please be merciful, Krishna, and help me to achieve that. Then we'll become dear to Krishna, and when you become dear to Krishna, then nothing is too great. Nothing is too great for Krishna to give you. But the thing is, when you reach that point, then you won't really care if Krishna gives you or doesn't give you. Like Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom. He had to get a kingdom to show his father that he was important. So it's a long story, but he took up a process, he took up bhakti yoga ultimately to get the mercy of the Lord to get a kingdom. So eventually the Lord appeared and said, okay, what do you want? But by that time, Dhruva Maharaj was already completely pure. So he told the Lord that previously I wanted a kingdom. I thought it was something very valuable. But now I've got you. Now I see that that kingdom is not valuable. It's actually just like rubbish. He said, I thought it was like a big mountain of jewels, very valuable. But now I can see it's nothing more than a pile of broken glass, broken colored glass. And who needs some broken colored glass? It's rubbish. Throw it away. So as we progress in Krishna consciousness, even though initially we will have some material aspirations which will pay to Krishna, but as we come to pure devotional service, then the experience that comes through that is so wonderful that all those other things we may have been praying for before, we won't worry about. It won't be attractive. We'll lose interest. Because we have something higher. We have Krishna. So let us aspire for that. Let us pray for that. And from time to time, let us observe how we're thinking and try and adjust our thinking more into the line of just pleasing Krishna. And for me, I don't really care. But let me do everything to please Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.